It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Praise God. Appreciate the good crowd that's here today and the wonderful spirit of the Lord we feel. And my, everything looks good around here. And looks just good enough to have camp meeting in. Hallelujah. And just looking forward to what God's got for us this week. And I tell you, after this morning, I'm not worried about the preaching. And I know we're going to hear good preaching this week. But I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to prepare my heart to be able to handle all that God would give me. Amen. Praise God. And if you get to the point where you don't feel like you can hold no more and handle no more, just go back to prayer and say, Lord, enlarge my capacity for spiritual things so I can get more and more of this. Hallelujah. And I just trust the Lord to help us. And it's good to be home. And just looking forward to this. Hallelujah. I want you to be turning this morning to the book of Judges, chapter number 16. And I have a burden on my heart today to preach to you. And it's maybe a little different than what, well, you know, you just never know what's different and what's not. I know it seems different to me, but it may not seem different to anybody else. But I feel like I got somebody I need to preach to today. And since this is the only opportunity I have, well, watch out. Here I come. Hallelujah. I'm just going to get after you if I can. And I want the Lord to help me today to do what I feel like he's bidding me do. And I really like to see the Lord come to us in this altar today. Amen. Praise God. Judges chapter number 16. Verse number 18 is where I want to start reading from. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he has shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Then she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. I read these scriptures to you today, my message to you, the Lord being my helper. I'm going to really just take an overview of this man's life, Samson. But if the Lord will help me today, I'd like to try to preach on conquered by compromise. Conquered by compromise. As we scan the landscape of the Old Testament, Samson's life is one that catches our attention. It does so because of the extraordinary events that occur through the life of this man. And any of us that have spent any time in Sunday school or study the Word of God, we've learned really all there is to know about this man, Samson. And I don't seek to astound you this morning by telling you something that you've never heard before about him. Amen. But there are some things that I see from his life as we revisit his story this morning. There's some things that we can gain insight from concerning something that I feel like is a plague in many hearts. Amen. When we look at the life of Samson, we realize that he was a man of great strengths. But even though we key in on the strength of Samson many times, we also need to observe that he was a man of great weaknesses as well. Amen. In the end, his weakness overcame his strength. In the sunrise of his story, we see great potential through the life of Samson. But in the sunset of his story, we see a life of wasted potential. You see, this was a time whenever that the judges ruled, and and God's people were prone to backsliding and falling back under the snare of the Philistines, and God would hear their cry, raise up a man, a deliverer, a man that would come and bring reformation, if you will, to the people of Israel and give them deliverance from the Philistines for a season. And God had a plan for the people of Israel at this time. And anytime God has a plan, he'll always have a man. And Samson was God's man for the plan, if you will, for deliverance at this time for the people of Israel. Amen. And we see that really from the very beginning God had this plan in mind, because we recognize from Samson's beginning that he was consecrated from his birth. Notice, if you will, in Judges chapter 13 and verse number 3, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and appeared to this woman, Samson's mother, and gave her the promise that she was going to conceive and bear a son. Amen. She had been unable to have children up to this point. And notice what verse 5 says, lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Oh, hallelujah. We see, my friend, that Samson was a man that had been consecrated from his birth, and this consecration is marked by his separation. He was a man that took a Nazarite vow from his mother's womb. Amen. Because of God's plan for Samson's life, it required a life of separation. When you look at this, when you look at the life of Samson and this Nazarite vow, in order to understand what all was involved in the Nazarite vow, you have to go back into Numbers chapter 6, amen, where God gives him instructions concerning this vow, and there he lets us know that if you took a Nazarite vow, they were to separate themselves from wine and strong drink. Verse number 4 of chapter 6 of Numbers said, all the days of his separation shall eat nothing that is made of the vine tree. Verse 5, all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 6 tells us that all the days of his separation, amen, he shall come at no dead body. Amen. We also know it says in verse number 8, all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He was God's man for the plan, and because of that, he was required to live a life of separation. Can I tell you, my friend, that this is carried over into the New Testament? For you see, God has a plan for every one of our lives as well. Amen. God has raised us up in this generation and put us here at this time in history for a specific plan and purpose. God has a plan for every one of our lives. And do you realize, my friend, in order to fulfill the plan of God in your life and in order for me to fill it in my life, amen, God requires separation in our lives as well. We see it carried over in Paul's writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he said, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Amen. Notice that there's a promise there, a promise of his fathership. Amen. A promise that we could be his sons and daughters, and we love to key in on that promise and call ourselves children of God. But my friend, there is a condition to that promise, and it was this call for separation in our life. Really, the only way we can claim to be a son or daughter of God is there must be that separation in our life. Oh, hallelujah. Paul carries on that thought into the next chapter in verse number 1, amen, where he said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Samson was a man that had taken the Nazarite vow. Amen. And because of that vow, it was showing to the public that he was completely devoted and consecrated to God. Amen. A man that carried the Nazarite vow, amen, was displaying publicly for all to see his devotion to God and his separation to him. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell us here this morning on homecoming Sunday morning, amen, God still intends for us to display our affection and devotion to him in a public manner. Oh, hallelujah. The reason reason why we live the way we do and conduct ourselves the way we do. It's not because of just, amen, it's the bylaws of the church, or it's the set of rules that we've established for a movement. The fact of the matter is, the reason why, amen, you live the way you do is to show your devotion and your affection to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. What should motivate all of our separation? Amen. All of it should be motivated by our love and our devotion to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Not only do I see that Samson's life is consecrated from his birth and marked in his separation, but I also see he is consecrated from his birth, and it's noticed in the fact that he was moved on by the Spirit. Notice what else Judges 13 says in verse 25. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp. The fact of the matter was, my friend, the secret to Samson's victories was found in that statement right there. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, if anything gets done for eternity's sake from our life, it will be through and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know that we have this idea, amen, Sunday school literature, I guess, is what's caused it to be in our mind. When we think of Samson, a lot of times we think of a superhero. Amen. Sometimes they even portray him as looking like Mr. Atlas or something like that. Amen. I don't believe that Samson was no bodybuilder. Hallelujah. I believe he was an ordinary man moved on by the Holy Ghost to do extraordinary things. And the fact of the matter is, my friend, you may not have as much talent as somebody else. You may not have as much ability as somebody else. But the fact of the matter is that the Holy Ghost could move on us. So hallelujah. There's no telling what God can do, amen, through a people that will allow the Holy Ghost to have full reign and have full leadership. Oh, hallelujah. I say, Lord, help me to be consecrated like Samson was. Amen. Help me, Lord, amen, to have that separation. But also help me, Lord, to allow the Holy Ghost to move through my life. Oh, hallelujah. If we get done this week what we need to get done, it's not going to be because of our fine singing. It's not even going to be because of our outlines or our illustrations. Amen. It's going to be by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I say right here on the first morning, Lord, help me. Help me right now to open up my heart to the Holy Ghost. Help me to open up my mind to the Holy Ghost to allow Him to rule and reign in this house. Hallelujah. Help me, sweet Lord. Amen. But as I look at the life of Samson, I'm trying to preach to you today on conquered by compromise. As I look at his life, not only do I see him consecrated from his birth, but I also, when I look at the life of Samson, I see that he is careless between his battles. Notice, if you will, my friend, Samson was a man noted for great victory. Amen. We see in the life of Samson, Samson's triumphs. They were powerful displays of God's power. There's no way that you can deny what he does is not a direct result of the hand of God on his life. Look at the fact, my friend, amen, that one day as he walked through the vineyards, amen, he killed a lion with his bare hands. One day, in order to get the attention of the Philistines, he catches 300 foxes. Amen, ties their tails together, sets them on fire, and sends them through the enemy's camp. Oh, come on now. Amen, you say, what's the big deal about that? Have you ever caught one? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He caught 300. Amen. One day we read where the enemy surrounded him. Amen. In a certain city, and he just grabbed a hold of the gates of the city, ripped them off their hinges, and carried them to the tops of the hill. Hallelujah. Amen. Another day we see he picks up the jawbone of a donkey. Amen. And kills 1,000 Philistines. One man against 1,000. Doesn't seem like very good odds, but my friend, the Holy Ghost moved on him. Hallelujah. Amen. In the life of Samson, we see his great triumphs, powerful displays of God's power. But not only are we forced to look at his triumphs, but we also must look at Samson's tendencies. Amen. For in his triumphs, we see powerful displays of God's power. But in his tendencies, we see a persistent disregard of God's word. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. One of the first things that you read about from the life of Samson was he married a daughter of the Philistines. Amen. A violation of the law of God. Come on now.
Amen. Not only do we see, amen, that we also see, amen, that he was in the vineyards at Timnath when the lion roared against him. Remember, I told you from the book of Numbers that a Nazarite was not to eat or drink of anything that came from the vine. What business does Samson have in the vineyards at Timnath? I said, what business does he have in the vineyards at Timnath? Amen. When the lion roared against him. Oh, help me, sweet Lord. Amen. We see one day where he's found in a harlot's house. Amen. That's where he was at whenever the enemy surrounded him, and he carried the gates of the city to the top of the hill. Amen. Do you realize that some of the greatest displays of God's power in Samson's life was to get him out of a mess that he was in? Amen. And get him out of places he should have never been. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The fact of the matter is, my friend, amen, Samson's life shows us, amen, some tendencies that he had, a persistent disregard for God's word. And the fact of the matter is, my friend, yes, we see God's power in his battles. Amen. But my friend, Samson's downfall did not come from how he performed in the battle. Amen. Samson's downfall, amen, came about how he lived between his battles. And my friend, hear me tonight. I'm afraid that we've come to a place, even in the holiness church, amen, where we know how to have church, we know how to have a good service, and we get in and we have goosebumps and we get in and worship and we feel good while we're right here. But my question to the holiness people in this hour is, how are we living when we walk out those doors and we go back to the job on Monday? Oh, hallelujah. The fact of the matter was, his downfall came because he lived carelessly, amen, between his battles. Oh, hear me today, my friend. I want to preach to us. Amen. It does matter how you live out the door. Hallelujah. I said, it does matter how you live outside the church. Amen. I see God move on you here. I see the power of God deal with you here. Amen. But my friend, help me as I preach to you. Amen. How does it affect you when you walk out of here? I wonder sometimes, amen, how much of the Holy Ghost we really get and how deep a work he's doing in our life. Amen. When we can come in and shout our shoe heels off one service. Amen. And before we get to work the next day, our mind's back in the gutter again. Amen. Back doing and dealing with the same troubles and the same habits and the same weaknesses. I say, God, give us an experience with you that not only helps us win the battle here, but give us something, Lord, that when we walk outside the door, it will sustain us in a wicked hour. Hallelujah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Amen. If you read the paper, listen to the news, you know what kind of hour we're living in. Amen. It is a dark hour. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, you cannot blame. I said, you cannot blame this wicked hour. Amen. For any shortcomings in your life. Amen. For where sin does abound, the grace of God does much more abound. The fact of the matter is, my friend, amen, what about those tendencies? I see the triumphs. Amen. But what about tendencies that lay within your heart? Amen. Weakness there is in your character. I'm here to tell you, my friend, amen, Samson was a man. He knew a lot about God. He experienced his power and his glory. But the fact of the matter was, he really didn't know God. I said, Samson really didn't know God. He was careless in his devotion. Amen. Before his imprisonment, I only read of one prayer that Samson ever prayed. Amen. Now listen to me for just a moment. Parallel Samson's life with Samuel's life for just a moment. Oh, hallelujah. Both born by a miracle. Amen. Both separated from their birth for a special cause. Amen. Parallel their lives. Amen. But look at the life of Samson. He's known for his failure. Oh, hallelujah. But what about Samuel? Ever find a failure? Ever find a spot? Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Samuel's one of those bright spots in the Word of God. Amen. Where we don't see any moral failure. Amen. He had an upstanding, amen, report. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, help me, sweet Lord. What's the difference between Samuel and Samson? Amen. Look at the life of Samuel. in constant communication and fellowship with God. Amen. God constantly speaking to him and working in his life. Amen. That communication and relationship, amen, between Samuel and the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. But it's not found in the life of Samson. I said it's not found there in the life of Samson. Oh, hear me, my friend. Amen. The burden of my heart in this hour, amen, is that I see a weakness. Oh, hallelujah. We wonder why, amen, folks can't hardly stay in church when they have every opportunity to feel the power of God, hear anointed preaching, amen, be in the right kind of atmosphere, but it seems like they can't hardly get a hold of enough, amen, to keep them from Sunday to Wednesday. Amen. Oh, you hear me, my friend. Amen. You're trying to live on the spells, amen, that you get right here. But my friend, the fact of the matter is, amen, there's got to be a relationship with God. I said, you've got to get a hold of him and get such an experience with him, amen, that he becomes, amen, the love of your life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Samson was careless in his devotion. I said he was careless in his devotion. And because he had not, amen, a relationship with the Father, amen, then we see that there is a weakness in his attitude concerning the law of God. Oh, hallelujah. Samson had the attitude, I can do what I want to. I can go where I want to go. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And God will still bless me. And God will still help me. And God will still move for me. I'm here to preach to somebody today. You better wake up, my friend, and realize, amen, you are living very carelessly. Amen. When that love for God and that relationship with him is not what it ought to be, you are in a very careless place. You are in a very dangerous place. So help me, sweet Lord. I read about the sons of Eli. Amen. The Bible says they were sons of Belial. They were sons of the devil. Amen. Look at some of the sin they were responsible for. And it's almost mind-boggling to think that two men, amen, that grew up in the house of God around the worship of Jehovah, amen, could ever live like they live. Amen. The Bible said they were so wicked. They were called the sons of the Belial or the devil. Amen. But what was the root cause of it? It's found in the next statement. They knew not the Lord. Amen. They knew all about him. They knew all about his worship. They knew all about the sacrifices. They knew all about the ceremony of the law. Amen. They handled holy things every day of their life. And yet they knew not God. I said they knew not God. Oh, hear me, my friend. Amen. There comes a point in your life where you got to get a hold of him. I said you've got to get a hold of him. You've got to have a devotion to him. You've got to have a relationship with him. That's what holds you when the world shakes around you. I said that's what holds you when the world shakes around you. You got to get a hold of God. Oh, help me, sweet Jesus. Because he was careless in his devotion, we see that he becomes careless in his decision making. And he finds himself in places he shouldn't be, doing things he should have never done. And the fact of the matter was, his carelessness was causing his compromise. Oh, hallelujah. And when you get careless and you start making small compromises, it won't be long until those little compromises will cause your commitments to be broken. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It starts off with a cold heart, a lack of devotion, no relationship with God, no prayer time, no relationship. Oh, help me, sweet Lord. Until when you get to that place, you know why some folks have never figured out why we believe holiness? You know why some folks sit in a holiness church for 20 years and still bicker and fuss and fight about the standard? I'll tell you why. They don't know God. Oh, come on now. They never have got an experience with him, a relationship with him. For when you know him, when you're in close communication with him, oh, hallelujah, I'll just tell you right here this morning, hey, man, there's some things, there's some places I don't even have to ask my wife if she wants to go to or not. There's some restaurants I don't even have to ask her. You know, you want to go here? You know why? I know her. I have a relationship with her. I know she doesn't like it. So I don't even have to worry about that. I just steer clear. Hey, man, how do I know her? Because I've communicated with her through the years. Oh, hallelujah. I've developed a relationship with her. I know her likes and her dislikes. Oh, come on now. And I know her well enough that the first time that I might make a little step out of bounds, I can see it on her face. Oh, come on now. I don't mean that in a bad way. You hear me? I know her. She knows me. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Hey, man, how do I know? Because I've been in constant communication with her now for over 10 years. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You hear me, my friend? Amen. You sit in a holiness church and wonder why the preacher still preaches some of the things he does. I'll tell you why. You've not been in communication with the Father. Amen. You don't have a devotion to Him. But whenever you get close to Him, amen, you're going to know what He likes and what He doesn't like. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's going to get right here in your heart, and you're going to want to do what pleases Him, even if the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Amen. Just get close enough to Him, Brother David Horton. Amen. To feel His gentle touch on your heart and know that's something you need to stay away from. Oh, hallelujah. I say, Lord, help me to know You. Hallelujah. I'd like to know You better. I'd like to know You closer. Oh, hallelujah. I read in the New Testament where Jesus says, amen, there's going to be some that's going to cry, Lord, Lord, and He's going to say, depart. Amen. There's going to be some that's going to cry out, didn't we cast out devils in Your name? Didn't we do mighty works in Your name? And He's going to say, depart, I never knew You. Amen. I never had a relationship with You. I was never close to You. Hear me, my friend, it's possible to sing in His name. It's possible to preach in His name. It's possible to worship in His name and yet never know Him. I said, yet never know Him. I said, oh God, this morning, I don't want to fall like Samson did. I don't want to fail in my relationship with God. I said, I don't want to fail in my devotion to the Lord. Help us to realize, my friend, this morning, amen, you can get careless in your devotion. And the fact of the matter is that carelessness, that careless attitude in your commitments is causing you to compromise. Notice, if you will, I'm going to move on. He was consecrated from His birth. He was careless between His battles. And we see, my friend, in the closing chapter of Samson's life, that he was conquered by his behavior. Oh, yeah. We're forced to look at the downfall of this mighty warrior. Somebody that it's God's hand has been on at times. We've seen His triumphs. We've seen Him moved on by the Holy Ghost. And then we're forced to look at the downfall of Him. Notice where Samson finds himself. He finds himself here in the closing chapter of his life, again in a compromising position with another wicked woman. Oh, hallelujah. No doubt, my friend, the Philistines have picked up on Samson's weakness. They've known him to be at the harlot's house. Hey, but now he's at Delilah's house. Hey, man, and they're smart enough to figure out, hey, this guy's got a problem here. Oh, hallelujah. And they seek out and they find out his weakness only to exploit it and bring about his downfall. Now, listen, I don't believe that the devil knows everything. He's not omniscient and he's not omnipotent. Hey, man, but I do know enough about him. Hey, man, that he picks up on a weakness. Amen. He will exploit that. Amen. To try to bring about your downfall. Oh, hallelujah. Samson's weakness was women. Amen. I don't know what your weakness may be, but I guarantee you the devil does. And he's exploiting it at every opportunity that he can to bring about your downfall and bring about failure in your life. Amen. Oh, listen what the Bible says. Amen. Verse number 4, chapter 16. He loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Amen. They tell me that this valley of Sorek lay right on Israel's border with the Philistines. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There was Philistines and Israelites that lived in this valley together. Amen. They inhabited, amen, this valley together. We don't know if Delilah was an Israelite or a Philistine. Amen. But one thing we do know, amen, if she was an Israelite, she had a Philistine heart. Hallelujah. Because she became a pawn for the enemy to bring about failure in Samson's life. Amen. Notice, my friend, the constant pressure, amen, that Delilah begins to put on Samson. We read in verse number 16 where the Bible says that when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Her goal was to get him to reveal the secret of his power. And she begins to apply the pressure every day, urging him, pressing him with her words. Can I tell you, my friend, that's exactly how the devil operates in this hour. Amen. He will pressure you. Amen. Constantly, daily pushing you. Amen. When he picks up that weakness and he sees the carelessness there is in your heart and in your life, he will begin to apply the pressure. Amen. You wonder why, my friend, it seems like your mind is constantly tormented. You wonder why it seems like every time you turn around, you're faced with it once again. I'll tell you why. Amen. The devil's picked up on something and he is pressuring you and pushing you to bring about your downfall. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. She pressed him so. Amen. And urged him so. Amen. That finally, amen, he lies to her and tells her, if you bind me, amen, with green withs, amen, I'll become like any other man. Amen. She does exactly what he says to do. Amen. He falls asleep. Amen. She calls for the Philistines. And of course, my friend, amen, these green withs are no match, amen, for the strength of Samson. Amen. And we see how he runs the Philistines out. Amen. She's upset. You've lied to me. Amen. Again, she causes him to lie. Amen. This time he says, amen, use new ropes and I'll be like any other man again. Amen. Ropes, no match. Amen. But oh, she constantly is pressuring him until on the third time he said, if you weave the locks of my hair together. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend. Amen. She's getting closer now. I said, she's getting closer now. Amen. Oh, listen. Amen. Samson, his eyes have not been plucked out yet, but it's evident, my friend, that he is blind, amen, or willingly overlooking, amen, what the devil's trying to do to him. Amen. The fact of the matter is, you ought to be able to be smart enough, you know enough about God and the way the devil operates, that you ought to be able to see what he's doing in your life. Amen. But that's the problem with sin, and that's the problem with compromise. It blinds you to reality. I said it blinds you to reality until you can't think straight and you don't reason straight. Oh, come on now. Amen. The fact of the matter is, there is an insanity that comes with sin. Amen. That's the reason why the prodigal had to come to himself. He wasn't thinking straight. He wasn't acting straight. Amen. He was out of his mind. Amen. Oh, come on now. And the fact of the matter is, my friend, the devil has deceived you. Oh, I said the devil has deceived you. Amen. And filling your mind with lies. And the problem with sin is, amen, you become susceptible to it whenever you choose. Amen. I said whenever you choose, amen, to subject yourself to the constant pressure of the enemy. Amen. You become susceptible, amen, to what the devil's trying to do to you. Help me, sweet Lord. He failed to see the warnings. Do you see it today? Oh, listen, this gets me right here. I see where the constant pressure leads to Samson being a compromised prisoner. Notice what it said. She urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, the Bible says. And then it says, he told her all his heart. He just opened up. And notice what it says. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. And I will become weak and be like any other man. Samson, why? Why, Samson? Why would you want to be like any other man? When you felt the power of God, when you know what it's like to be anointed, when you have experienced His power and His glory, why would you want to be like any other man? The other day we were driving down the road. It was a nice spring evening. Went past a bar. Hey man, doors wide open. Could see into that dark room. Saw those men sitting around on those stools. And I looked at my wife and I said, how can anybody that's ever experienced his anointing and felt his touch to preach ever go from there to in there. I can't fathom it. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't picture, I can't reason out how anyone could go there, get from here to out there. Amen. But oh, listen to me. I know it's happened. I said, I know it's happened. Amen. Oh, but listen to me, my friend. Amen. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to leave this? Why would you want to leave this? Why would you want to leave this? Amen. And become like any other man. Oh, hear me, Samson. You need to wake up. I said, you need to wake up. You're only a few steps from failure. I said, you're only a few steps from failure. It's time for you to wake up and realize, I got to get a hold of God. I said, I've got to get a hold of myself and give myself over to God. I will go out. He told her all his heart. She does exactly what he says to do. He falls asleep. She wakes him and said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. I will go out as other times and shake myself. And he wist not. One of the most tragic statements in all of God's word. He didn't even realize that God had left him. Oh, listen, my friend, the worst place you can ever get in life is for God to leave you. If you're here this morning and you're a backslider, I said if you're here today and you're a backslider away from God, you ought at least pray enough to say, God, don't leave me. Please don't quit me, Lord. Amen. Don't leave me alone. Amen. David in his repentant prayer, amen, got to the place where he said, amen, remove not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. Why did he pray that? I guarantee you, amen, he prayed it because, amen, he'd seen Saul and knew what kind of man Saul become when the Holy Ghost left him and the Spirit of God left him. And David said, don't let me get to that point. Don't ever let me go that low. I don't ever want to be involved in that. Amen. I know I messed up. I know I sinned, God. But don't leave me. Don't quit me. Don't run away from me, Lord. Oh, hear me today, my friend. The best news I can give a backslider is if you feel conviction on your heart right now, there's still hope for you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He's not left you. Amen. He's still here to help you. I said, he's still here to help you. Oh, hallelujah. If that struggle's still there in your heart, that fight's still going on. Amen. I know the Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. But if there's still a battle raging in your heart, amen, you've got hope. Oh, hallelujah. I said, you got hope that there's a turnaround. Oh, hallelujah. I said, you got hope that you can turn it around. Samson compromised his separation. And when he compromised his separation, he lost his power. You hear me, my friend? When we compromise with this world, we lose our power. We become a prisoner. Whenever you get so careless that you compromise on your commitment, you become a slave to sin. And you can say, I'm not going to go any further. This is as far as I'm going to go. But the fact of the matter is, once you step across the line and you enter, amen, into the, oh, it's no longer where you want to go, what you want to do. You become a slave to it. Samson now is a prisoner. Sin is yanking his chain. He goes where they tell him to go. You hear me, my friend? You know too much. Why when people quit the Holiness Church, they quit with the idea that they'll just go out and be a sinner, you know, go to the movies, have fun, do their own thing, no big deal. But why is it, brother? Why is it whenever they quit the Holiness Church, it don't just stop? The fact of the matter is, when people leave the Holiness Church, most times they live worse than most sinners do. Oh, you listening to me? And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that is. Oh, I know there's some deplorable and some terrible things out in sin. I understand that. Amen. But you know why Holiness people, when they quit the church and they go out in the world, amen, they throw morals to the wind and they sink into the depths. I'll tell you why. is because, remember, Jesus in the New Testament said, when that one man that cast the devil out, amen, left his house sweating and garnished, amen, the devil came back with seven stronger than him, amen, and filled that man's heart, and the state of that man was worse than the first. Amen. The fact of the matter is, you know too much. Amen. You've experienced too much. Amen. You leave here and go out there, my friend. Amen. You will face the consequences of it. You will not find the handbrake on that steep hill. Amen. It'll take you straight to the bottom. I said it will take you to the trash heap of sin. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That one preacher boy, amen, that I grew up with, preached with, prayed with, shouted with. Amen. I looked him in the eye. Amen. Out in the parking lot of that restaurant, I drove 700 miles to find him. Amen. I pulled him out in the parking lot and I said, we need to talk. Amen. I told him, I said, son, amen, you know too much. You've experienced too much. I said, you better take a look at that wife and those babies. You'll not keep them. Amen. You'll not be able to hang on to all this. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend, the last I heard of him, amen, already found another wife, living a life of a wretched sinner. Amen. I've seen his wife a few times and children. Amen. In a few revivals I preached in that area since. Amen. They're struggling. Amen. They've got a battle to fight. Amen. You hear me, my friend. You better make the right choice. Amen. You're careless in your decision. And daddy, listen to me. If you choose to walk out of here and go the way of sin, you better remember, buddy. Amen. There's the pitter patter of little feet behind you. And I said, there's the pitter patter of little feet behind you. Amen. It's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your wife. It's going to affect your children. It'll affect your grandchildren. You hear what I'm telling you, my friend. Amen. You better wake up and realize. I said, you better wake up and realize the devil will make a fool out of you.
Most parents don't realize what it costs them when they compromise and they leave the wholeness church behind. You hear me? Your behavior will conquer you. But that's not the end of my message. For you see, verse 21 says, help me, sweet Lord. Verse 21 says, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Oh, but that's not the last word we have on Samson. You hear me, my friend? The next word in God's word is, how be it. Oh, listen, that how be it gives us hope that there's about to be a turnaround. It says, how be it, the hair of his head begin to grow again. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Hey, man, your failure does not have to be final. I said, your failure does not have to be final. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. When the prodigal left with his inheritance and wasted on riotous living, there were some things he never recovered. There were some things that he forever lost. He forever lost his reputation. He forever lost his reputation. Amen. He lost his riches. Amen. You can measure that on the scale of money, or you can measure on the scale of morals, but he lost his riches. Come on now. I said he lost his riches. There's some things, my friend, when you quit and you go out and you compromise and you're conquered by sin, there's some things you'll never recover. I said there are some things you will not recover. Amen. There will forever be a reproach on your reputation. But you listen to what the preacher says. Amen. Your failure does not have to be final. I said it does not have to be final. Amen. They took Samson to the pillars to make sport of him. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But oh, listen what we read. Amen. The Bible says that Samson prayed. I said Samson prayed. Thank God. I said, thank God. He had enough sense when he found himself on the bottom to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I want to know today, amen, you may be here on the bottom. You feel like you're lower than you've ever been. My friend, that's the right time to pray. I said, that's the right time to call on the name of the Lord. I said, that's the right time to cry out as Samson did. Lord, remember me. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to that prayer, Samson. It was a cry for God to remember him. It's the same cry that we read from Hezekiah's deathbed. It's the same cry that we read about a thief's death sentence on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you from the book of Revelation, it's the cure for a death
church. Amen, Sardis. Amen. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Oh, hallelujah. And I tell you here today, my friend, there's a revival on the other side of remember. I said, there is a revival on the other side of remember. Remember how good God's been to you. Remember how God moved on you. I said, remember how God's moved on you at times. I'm here to tell you, remember and then recover. Recover. Right here. No! Recover. 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 Whew. And what shall I more say? Time would fail to tell of Gideon. And of Barak, and of Samson. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you have burdened my heart through the night and early this morning. This means right here today. Father, you know who, where, and why I've preached like I have today. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that conviction would settle on a soul. Lord, if it's only one, it'll be worth it. Lord, please deal with heart.